It's Thursday, January 28th. Welcome into Jeff Schwartz's Smart You. I am Jeff Schwartz alongside Matt Ford. This will be a little different. Normally today, we talk about the games ahead. We talk about the wagers we like, the sides we like, the props we like. But guess what? There's no game this weekend. There's no Pro Bowl this weekend. Oof. So we're not going to do that. Matt, what we're going to do is we're going to gamble on different things, like where every quarterback lands. We're going to go over the 18 or so quarterbacks that Schefter said may or may not move. We're not going to go over all 18. We'll go over at least the top five that we think are big movers and shakers. And we'll go over our hits and misses from the preseason. We had a lot of preseason wagers we told you guys we liked, sort of over-unders and some props. And we'll get to some mailbag questions. So we're going to do a little differently on this Thursday than we have in the past. But don't worry, we'll be back next week. Got some great interviews on Monday. We're going to interview Monday, two interviews Monday. And then Matt and I will talk about all our wagers we like for the Super Bowl. We'll do that next Thursday as usual. Then we'll have a great game. Then we'll recap it. And then boom, we're off in the offseason. Matt, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. It's I can't believe that we don't have games to deal with this week. It's a little bit strange. There was part of me that was sort of looking forward to like a weekend off, but the idea of soon like dozens of consecutive weekends off from football is terrifying. It's going to be a rough winter, but it's fun for now.
What's interesting about that is like you don't have kids. So like what do you do on a weekend with no football?
I mean, sleep. Basically whatever I want, Jeff, you know, leisure activities into normal. I mean, actually what's funny is like nothing, none of us are doing anything. So, you know, I'll enjoy my childless days while I can, I guess.
Yeah, that's pretty funny because, yeah, I think back to times before I had kids, like, what do we do on the weekends? I mean, this is obviously like if there's not a pandemic and you're like, I don't know, we just like went to Bed Bath & Beyond, same as Will Ferrell.
Yeah, that's right. It's not much. I don't know if we'll have enough time.
Yeah, so that's basically what we used to do. Yeah. All right, you want to start with where we were right and wrong, or you want to start with quarterbacks?
I guess we could just do some quick hits on these preseason ones. Our trusty producer Nick threw some in the rundown that some of yours, I think, or no, there were some of mine too that we liked. Any sort of notable things that you want to take credit for our preseason over unders that that have cashed?
Well, the Steelers was definitely the one that I was the hottest on, which a lot of people I don't think were as hot as me. Now, obviously, I thought they had a chance to win the Super Bowl, not lose to the Browns in the playoffs, but I was right about them. I told you guys, look, they were 8-8 last year, I guess 2 years ago now, with Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodgins. Big Ben comes back. The defense is really good. The Steelers, I told you, I had the Super Bowl future on them. They were my number one hit this year. I think they're not even close to any team that I hit better on. We'll talk about Ben in a little bit and what they do with the quarterback situation, but I feel really good about the Steelers. I was obviously on the right side there.
That's good. My best call, I think, was Tampa over 9.5. I gotta say, Jeff, like, I think I need to stop betting games because I'm only good at betting futures. Like, I had Seattle over 9. I had the Chargers under 7.5. I had the Broncos under 7.5. Those were good calls. I had Tennessee over 8.5. Atlanta under 7.5. Like, I killed these. I wish I had bet more of them, but I was like, well, I'll be better in the season. And I sucked in the season instead, as usual.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't done a lot of futures, but this year was a good year. I mean, I hit the Panthers, too. I told you guys I didn't like the Panthers.
Yep.
Now, that one feels a little bit lucky, but I'll take it anyways. The Chiefs, like I told you guys, Chiefs over 11.5. Easy money. I feel a little bit upset with the Ravens. Like, I had them over 11.5, too. I mean, they just had that COVID run and didn't play well in the middle of the season. I feel okay about losing that bet. I mean, you're going to lose some, but I had some big swings and misses. Number one was the Rams, man. I thought the Rams were not going to be a playoff team.
Yep.
And they proved me wrong fairly quickly. They were obviously didn't win a playoff game, but man, they God, I look stupid with the Rams.
The 49ers made me look stupid. I took them over 10.5. And that one could have gone in any number of ways, but that should have seen that one coming. I also think that the big lesson I learned this year is bet the divisions, bet the divisional futures, because my biggest wins of the year were Pittsburgh to win the division after like week two. They were like plus 200 or 300 or something like that. And Washington, I bet them in midseason. I bet all of the NFC East teams because they were everyone except whoever the favorite was. And Washington was like plus 650 because they were 2-5. But no one in that division was good. Like, you got to take those swings because weird stuff happens. That's a fun one to remember for next year.
Yeah, that's I need to. The reason why I don't do futures as much And I told you, I made some of these bets, some I did not. I told you guys in the early in the season, like, what I was doing. It's like, I'm so impatient.
Yeah.
But I feel like, to your point, is that there are, they are good values. Like, for example, this weekend, or I guess next weekend, I have a Tampa Bay plus $1,100 future to win the Super Bowl. $50 to win $550, okay?
Pretty damn good.
So I'm basically this weekend playing with house money. I could bet, and I probably will. I will probably bet $500 on the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are going to win.
Yeah.
So I will bet maybe $500 on the Chiefs to win $300. And if the Tampa wins, then I just, oh, whatever, I'm up $50 or something. But if the Chiefs win, I'm up a lot of money, right? Like I can do whatever. I could take half of that. I could half that in the middle, right? Like you could take the Chiefs,
yep.
To win, I don't know, $200, right? Like I find ways to like, there is some value. And then also you can, if you do it right, you can then sell off in the season, right? You can take bets here and there to figure out how to get back to the middle. I think next year I'm going to take a lot more, especially season props. We did two of them on our show that I know for certain. Kyler Murray over, passing yards, which hit, and Saquon Barkley under, which I think it even hits if he doesn't get hurt this year.
Yep.
Those were two ones that you brought that were great.
Yeah. Yeah, we had Gardner Minshew, I think, was an under that we liked. There were a few that just the player props just feel like free money because if somebody just misses one game, you hit the unders on all of those. So that's a fun one to keep in mind too.
Yeah, and the Lions was a team that I think we decided on. Hey, if there was a worst to first team, it was gonna be the Lions this year, and that did not happen.
No, it did not.
Could you work for a boss who was like Dan Campbell, the Lions head coach?
I don't think I could work with him as a colleague. Like I would look at that guy and just be like, what's your deal, my guy? Like, what are we doing here? His opening press conference was one of the strangest things I've ever seen in my entire life. That one just feels like, every year there's one hire where you're like, that's not going to be good. Like that was one of those, like from the first moment, you're just like, I'm not sure that one's going to work.
Yeah, that feels like those. But I'll tell you what, man, in 2016 now, right, Doug Peterson was the coach who wasn't going to work. And
that's true.
He won a Super Bowl. So that's the Lions, though. And their quarterback situation obviously is changing now that Matt Stafford wants out. And maybe we should start there. Quarterbacks on the move. Adam Schefter thinks there'll be 18. That feels a little high. 18 new quarterbacks in new places next year, right? So I guess that's all possible, especially with the draft. But I don't know, man. Do you want to start with Matt Stafford? Because he put his Detroit house on the market. He has said he's leaving town. His wife posted something on Instagram about leaving town.
Yeah.
He is leaving the Detroit Lions. The question is, who gets him and for how much money?
Yeah, I mean, this the tweet you're referencing from Adam Schefter is it's from a few days ago. He says there's roughly 10 quarterbacks locked into starting jobs for next year. I think, if you count, I think he's counting Dak Prescott. So when you look at that list, it's, Kansas City, Arizona, Cleveland, Baltimore, Chargers, Seahawks, Bengals, you assume Green Bay, you assume Dallas and Buffalo. That leaves just an unbelievable amount of potential change out there. Stafford's a great one. And the thing about Stafford is it feels like there's a little momentum for him where Watson feels like it's going to take some time because it's going to take one of these monster deals. But it feels like Stafford's going to be that first domino to fall, doesn't it?
Yeah, for a couple of reasons. One is that he's not going to be as pricey as Deshaun Watson's going to be, right? Watson's going to take, if you look at the packages teams can offer, right, three or four first rounders in next year's first rounder and maybe a Darnold or Tua. Matt Stafford probably takes a first rounder and a second rounder, a first rounder, a third rounder, a little older, a little injured. And I think when you have a new coach and new GM like the Lions do, there's more incentive to just start over, right? Start over. And to get rid of Stafford would be the first step of starting over. And, when you look at these odds, now some of these odds that I'm going to give you guys are not actionable. Some are, I'm not going to pump up which offshore site I'm using because we're not an offshore website podcast. But right now, the Lions are a short favorite to keep him, which I think is a bad bet. Do not put money in the Lions here. Colts and then 49ers are the top two, Broncos being the fourth best odds after that. So for me, the Colts and Niners make a ton of sense. The Colts have a lot of figuring out to do about what they want to do at quarterback. The Niners, to me, are very simple. The Niners are going after three guys, in my opinion. Stafford, Rodgers, if he's available, which I don't think he will be, and maybe Sam Darnold. I feel like Matt Stafford is the guy the Niners should go up and get and make it happen and make their team into a Super Bowl caliber team again. What do you think?
That's really interesting. So I think that the exercise with Stafford, it's like two pieces of scouting. It's like, how close are we to being a quarterback away? And also, like, is he the ingredient for, oh, we're a quarterback away, right? Like, Deshaun Watson clearly is. Like, if the Colts got Deshaun Watson, which they won't because they're in the division, like, they're like probably the Super Bowl favorite or second favorite behind the Chiefs, right? Stafford, like, I understand that, like, it would make sense for a team like San Francisco to make that play. But do you think that really puts them over the top, given sort of like what they've got on? I don't know. I don't know if I see it.
I think they have to, obviously, they lose Saleh on defense. They have to replace their D coordinator. And they have some parts on defense that are kind of old in the secondary. But this offense with Shanahan is good, right? Like, no matter what, they're going to score points. And they've scored points with Nick Mullins at quarterback, with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback. Imagine Matt Stafford in this offense, right? This offense is so quarterback-friendly that you might get yourself to 11 or 12 wins with a little bit of a suspect defense because you score so many points on offense. And I do think the Niners think that, look, they were competitive this year with no one at quarterback. The 1 year in Kyle Shanahan's tenure with the 49ers where he had a quarterback that was healthy for the entire year, he made a Super Bowl, Matt. Like, yeah. I think they can be one quarterback away. And you put Stafford in this offense, and this offense, remember, the Shanahan offense, for the most part, is run by quarterbacks who are not very good. I mean, that's a little bit, maybe they're average, right? And it elevates them, right? It elevates Cousins and Case Keenum and Goff and Jimmy Garoppolo. But we saw this year with Aaron Rodgers in this offense, what can happen, MVP caliber play. Matt Stafford in this offense does the same thing for them, in my opinion. He becomes MVP caliber quarterback if he stays healthy in San Francisco.
That's really interesting. I mean, to me, the obvious one is the Colts, who I think are the favorite in, if you know, these kind of sketchy offshore books that we've been looking at. Because the Colts, I feel like, have made the case that, hey, we are a quarterback away. And Rivers was, I mean, I'd give Rivers, what, like a C+ for the year. And if you upgraded that to like an A-, they could potentially have something really substantial to work with there. The interesting domino with the Niners is if they do trade for Stafford, then what could happen to Garoppolo? And this is when things start to get nuts. And I kind of feel like you probably aren't a huge fantasy football player, but if you've ever been in a fantasy auction, there's always that guy that gets out there first. Like in my league this year, it was Julio Jones. He was like the first guy on the board and no one really knew how to value him. So he went for like $30. And then every other receiver went for like 50. And I think that could happen where somebody gets Stafford and it's like, huh, just a first rounder. Like that kind of makes sense. And then you look up and Mitch Trubisky's getting like a $200 million contract because every team needs a quarterback in a couple of months. Like, I kind of feel like, I don't know, this could just really start to get crazy.
It could, if to your point, you know, teams aren't able to snag up the guys that they want. The Colts are really interesting because, you know, they can make a play for a couple different players. You can make a play for Carson Wentz. I'll just end this now. I think Carson Wentz stays an Eagle, right? Yeah. They got rid of the coach for a reason. They brought in a guy they can control, in my opinion, a coach, and a guy that Carson Wentz wants to work with. So Carson Wentz, to me, is almost the simplest one of this all. He's staying in Philly. So he's off the board for the Colts. The Colts have now Sam Darnold, Matt Stafford. I mean, is Jameis an option in Indy as well? I don't know exactly, but let's stick with Stafford and Darnold. So I guess the question becomes, is that Stafford, Darnold, I should say, is cheaper, at least for one more year, and then you have to give him a contract. Stafford's already expensive and older.
Yep.
Is there going to be that much of a difference in Frank Reich's offense with Stafford or with Darnold?
I think Stafford is a safer play for them. I mean, the Rivers thing made sense because he didn't make a ton of mistakes. Like, that's why I don't think Winston is a fit there, because they want somebody to just sort of like carefully drive this car towards the finish line. I know that this contradicts directly what I just said, but like, what about Mitch Trubisky for the Colts? He kind of had like a pretty nice end of the season run. He kind of has like a similar skill set to Wentz, who obviously had that success with Reich. That one to me seems like it sneaky makes a little bit of sense, and they wouldn't have to give up anything because he's a free agent.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do that.
Somebody is going to talk themselves into Trubisky, and the Niners are another team I think that could make some sense. God.
So the idea is basically our offensive coach is so good that we can get out of Trubisky. The Niners just did that with Jimmy G, though. Like, I think the Niners understand they need an elite quarterback. Dude, it is hard to win the NFL in the long term with an above-average guy. You need to find an elite. Stafford can be elite, in my opinion, with his arm talent, with his ability to kind of just make plays and being on a good team for once. Trubisky, dude, does not feel at all like a guy that I put any dollars into to be my starting quarterback.
Yeah, it's gonna. He's gonna be the most interesting one this season. He's an unrestricted free agent. There is going to be a huge amount of demand for like a capable starting quarterback. You know, I could see a lot of teams like, what about New England? Could New England talk themselves into Mitch Trubisky? Like there are so many teams. Washington, like, who's gonna do it? Someone's going to. But to tie up the Stafford conversation, what's your prediction for where he ends up going?
I think he goes to, I would say he goes to the Colts.
Okay. Yeah, I'm also gonna say the Colts. That one just makes the most sense to me.
Agreed.
Do you want to move to Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, let's do Aaron Rodgers. Why not?
So, go start us off. I mean, I have a pretty strong feeling about this.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere. That's my feeling. You know. You don't trade away MVP Hall of Fame quarterbacks that just had their best season of their career because he's a little salty after a game. Matt LaFleur obviously said, hey, we want him back. He's our quarterback. Well, duh, because he's led Matt LaFleur to like 26 wins in 3 years, or last 2 years, actually, right? They've won, I think, 27 games the last 2 years, something like that, some crazy 28 games. Yeah, of course he's going to be back there next year. I don't know if they change the philosophies on defense to help them win more. I don't know what they do, but of course Rodgers is back. What kind of silliness is this?
I think this is crazy. Of course he's coming back. This isn't the NBA where, you know, a player just says, I'm not happy, and then a week later he's traded to the Nets. Like, that's not happening here. And the Packers are so close. Like, last year they got to the NFC Championship and everyone thought they were a fraud. This year, they should have won that game last week.
I agree.
They're a drop from Davante Adams in the red zone away from being in the Super Bowl, and none of us even thinking about this. What I do think is potentially interesting here is Jordan Love a trade piece? Like, what could happen there? Like, what if some team sort of looked at him last year and really liked him, and now all of a sudden Rodgers is, you know, they want to pump up Rodgers' ego. There's not enough quarterbacks to go around in this league at the moment. Like, could they trade Jordan Love for like a second rounder?
What they have to consider in all of this is that there are five possible first round draft picks at quarterback in this draft. So even with all these veterans, a team like the Packers, who I guess they draft kind of late though, could just be like, you know what? We're going to trade Aaron Rodgers for a first rounder. We're going to trade Jordan Love and just go get ourselves Zach Wilson, mm-hmm. or get ourselves Kyle Trask, or get ourselves Trey Lance. They don't have to trade for a quarterback, or they don't have to use Jordan Love. When Josh Rosen was traded and Kyler Murray was drafted, and even now, if Tua gets traded for Deshaun Watson, let's say, this whole like keeping a quarterback to develop is over, right? Like, if you don't think he's your guy, boom, he's gone. So yes, the Packers could get rid of Rodgers, get rid of Love, and draft someone in the first round, sure, but that just feels way too complicated for an organization that doesn't feel like they have drama very often.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine them going in that direction.
There was this report last year when we did our mock drafts last year. There was this circle of reporting that New England really liked Jordan Love, that they were scouting him, that they were interested in him, and then the Packers kind of came out of nowhere and picked him. I think that could be potentially pretty interesting. Like, there is going to be some move that makes no sense. Like, you know, what if Tua gets traded? If Miami gets Deshaun Watson, like, there's just going to be some wacky movement this year. And Jordan Love, I mean, the hard thing about Love, it's sort of the same problem with Rodgers. It's like, what value are you getting, right? Like, if Green Bay did decide, hey, we're going to trade Aaron Rodgers for some dumb reason, like, what could you possibly get back for an MVP who's also 37, 38 that already wants a new contract? Like, There's not going to be like a good return for either side. So, and Love's sort of the same problem. He's just an unknown quantity, but I could see that potentially happening. Like, Why not? Like, that could be chaotic and crazy. It'd be fun.
To me, it feels like the domino to make all of this happen is Deshaun Watson.
Right.
Right? Because Rodgers not going anywhere. Matt Stafford already wants to leave, right? So he's gone. We'll get to Carson Wentz in a second. Oh, how about Carson Wentz now? He ain't going nowhere.
No chance.
So,
like,
he's not going anywhere. So
it's the contract. Take that off the board. Yeah.
It's the contract. And also, it's very simple. They chose him over Doug Peterson. It's not that difficult, right? They had to choose. We talk about this all the time. They had to choose between Doug Peterson or Wentz, and they chose Wentz. It's okay. They chose him. So, all right. Deshaun Watson. Let's talk about him. So, obviously, he wants out for a multitude of reasons. We talked about them all, but basically, he wasn't treated in a manner that he felt they respected him, right? He was supposed to be helping the coaching search. And again, I go back to this, Matt. If we are in business, but let's say that there's a decision to be made on this podcast, right? And you're the business side of it, and you say to me, hey, I'm going to keep you in the loop, okay? I'm going to keep you involved. Now, you and Gabe might say, hey, you know what? We're not really going to make a decision based on what Schwartz says. We're going to let him know that we think he does it, right? Yeah. Same as like you're married, I'm married. The wedding planning, right? The wedding planning, I didn't do shit. We chose everything my wife wanted to choose. But I just kind of like, you know, I just like, kind of like, you know, like, I just, you know, I just like kind of kept her involved. Like, I mean, I kept myself involved and she thought I did something. I'm like, I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Like, you just kind of like, you kind of give your word to someone and you kind of fugazi them a little bit and you make them feel good, right? The Texans just could have done that with Watson. Hey, Watson, yeah, Deshaun, guess what, man? You know what? We'll interview Eric Bieniemy for you. We'll keep you abreast of what happens. They didn't do any of that on top of trading away. You know, now they got Laremy Tunsil back, but trade away Dwayne Brown, trade away Hopkins. There's obviously some things happening with the previous owner and what the comments he's made in the organization, things like that. He wants out. No matter who the coach is, he still wants out. I think he stays. We'll get to that in a second.
Wow.
But let's talk about where he's going to end up. To me, the Jets or the Dolphins make the most sense because they have the most draft picks to give up. But here's my case against the Jets trading for Deshaun Watson. So you make this trade with the idea that you're ready to win now, in my opinion.
Yep.
And the Jets roster is not there right now.
Yep.
And they can use all this draft capital, especially if they trade back out of two, to just get themselves seven starters. Just like go find yourself a good team.
Yep.
And then you can add the quarterback next year. You can get, you know, you can find a way to get a quarterback at some point. But get yourself your roster. If you trade away, I'm going to pull up what they have to trade away. It's going to take your second overall pick, your 23rd, your 34th pick this year,
yep,
plus next year's two first rounders and a second round pick probably, right? Like everything you have. Mm-hmm. If you mortgage that away, can you build up your roster to win with Deshaun Watson? I don't know, right?
I hope that the Jets listen to this because this is exactly right. Like not only is all everything you just said true, but it also adds this pressure all of a sudden of like, oh God, like we've arrived. Like now this is going to happen. And the Jets don't need that. Like do exactly like take my Washington football team. They didn't have a quarterback this year. There were no expectations. They went to the playoffs and lost and we couldn't have been happier as fans. That the Jets need a few seasons like that where they're kind of under the radar. You know, maybe they draft your left tackle out of Oregon. Maybe they draft another receiver. Like, just build that roster up. Or, as you said, trade that pick to a quarterback desperate team and go crazy and just have a bonanza in the draft. What I think Miami makes so much sense for them, for Deshaun Watson, for a lot of reasons. First of which is you could put Tua in a deal, potentially, if you traded with the Dolphins. And that would be kind of interesting because then the Texans could potentially get that third pick and have a quarterback and get a bunch of other picks and be able to start a rebuild even faster with the quarterback in place and not have to then just like sink their old pick at number three into another quarterback that they're not sure what they are. So I think Miami makes a ton of sense because, and for them, their roster is kind of close to being ready, it feels like.
And this is, I think you made the point for me, is they're close to being ready. So here's what they can trade. They can trade, it's the third overall pick.
Which was Houston's pick. Yeah.
Which was Houston's pick. So the 36th overall pick, which was Houston's pick.
Yep.
And the 50th pick. So four picks in the top 50 this year, plus a first and a second round next year. And Tua. So the question becomes, do the Texans have a high regard for Tua? Because obviously you can draft a quarterback at three, but then you don't really need Tua, right? So Tua becomes a big part of this. And the Dolphins don't want to keep Tua either. Like, he has to kind of be part of this deal. So if they feel like he's our guy, then I think Houston makes this deal. Like, I think this is like, this is the deal that, that they should make is with the Dolphins. The reason why I don't think they make this deal, Matt, is for a couple reasons. One, and let's use James Harden as an example. The NBA is a players league, right? Players run the league. James Harden said, I want out of Houston. So guess what he does? He sabotages himself, right? Yep. He may or may not be overweight. I can't figure that out yet. I think he was just wearing like something underneath his shirt to make it look like he was fatter because he showed up in Brooklyn and was skinny again.
Like a Big Mama's House sort of scenario.
Yes, a Big Mama's House. Or you know what I thought it was? Is sometimes guys were like heat packs under their back to warm up like their low back as they warm up. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe he, because it was always in his jumpsuit. It was never like with his jersey on when he looked fat, right? So I don't know what it was, but goes to Brooklyn. All of a sudden he's skinny again. But look, James Harden's like throwing errant passes, not trying very hard, sabotaging his teammates. Deshaun Watson would never do that when he played.
That's right.
And that's the difference in the NFL. If Watson showed up to play next season under protest, he would go out every day and give it his best. And he'd go out every day trying to win the football game and go out trying to win it for his teammates, for his team. And so if they keep him, you know you're going to get that from Deshaun Watson. Is he going to be happy? Probably not. But he'll show up eventually, because guess what? If he doesn't show up, he doesn't get paid. It doesn't make sense to just sit out a season.
I mean, I agree with all of that. And Deshaun Watson, I've met him briefly in my work. Super impressive, nice dude. All accounts say the same thing. The only thing is for Houston is they had that this year and they sucked. So for them, I would rather take this Miami deal. And that's, I think, sort of underrated. Like, you never want to trade a 25-year-old franchise quarterback, but their team is a mess. And they're not a few things away from being relevant. They're a roster away from being relevant, and they need some time to rebuild this thing. I think they could sort of turn it around with Watson. They still don't have a coach. Like, we kind of forget that. I mean, they've talked about Josh McCown or whatever, but they could still hire Eric Bieniemy. Like, that could happen. And then potentially, it seems like that's the guy Watson would want. So they could, in theory, turn it around from there. But I don't know. If I'm them and I'm getting, you know, Tua plus four first round picks, you know, plus the naming rights to the Dolphins stadium or whatever the hell else, I would do it. I mean, I just think that it's such a fast way to rebuild your team, and they'll be better off. Like, it'll be a painful couple of years, but they'll get their draft picks back. Like, they have nothing. They have no way to improve this offseason because they don't have any other picks. So they have, I think they have to move him, which is crazy.
And the Dolphins give them the best option. Look, if team of the Dolphins, 10-6 this past season, basically on the defense and special teams alone and coaching, because offensively they were wrecked. But guess what? They have, I think, three rookie offensive linemen. Yep. They had a bunch of injuries and skill position players. And Deshaun Watson immediately makes them an AFC contender, in my opinion.
Immediately.
And I think the Dolphins should be the first team and the only team that should call the Houston Texans every single day.
Yeah, and also, like, the positions where they're kind of weak are the positions you could do well in free agency. They could sign Aaron Jones. They could sign Allen Robinson. Like, all of a sudden, that team is, like, is juiced for the Super Bowl. But, you know, a wide receiver, you see that in free agency all the time. They switch teams and it works out. It's, you know, it's not, like, a big mystery. I think Miami should absolutely do this. And it would be good for Houston, too. And that's my prediction. I think that's what happens.
I think that's what happens, too. I think it happens near the draft, though. I think this stuff no need to do it now.
Yep.
You know, but it might happen. But I think that if you do it before free agency, you kind of understand where you need to be. So it could happen right before free agency, too. But I think this is more of like a kind of a draft-ish day trade.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Like draft day. Vontae Mac, no matter what.
Yeah, exactly.
What other quarterbacks and their movement interest you?
I would like to talk about, let's see. We can do some quick hits here. Maybe we can go through some teams. Like, I'm curious, like, what you think. I'm curious what you think Washington does. Let's start there with my own favorite team.
Alex Smith still wants to play, which, I don't really, God, Alex, I love you, buddy, but it's done, man.
Yeah, I agree.
It's done.
I'm curious here because everyone's linking them to Stafford because they just hired the Lions GM, the old Lions GM, Martin Mayhew. I just don't think that makes any sense for Washington for the reasons I said about Watson, where if you go all in and trade a first round pick and something else for Stafford, the clock's on, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, Washington's going for it. Like, I think that they would potentially do better for like a smaller package, do like what Carolina did with Bridgewater, and let this play out for another year or two while you sort of turn over the roster. So I don't think they're in play for either of the two big guys.
I think Washington, I think probably the draft, right? I mean, maybe they're a pick up a Jameis Winston or Trubisky type of thing.
I think that's what happens. I think Winston's going to end up there.
Or like even like a Fitzpatrick maybe.
Yeah, Fitzpatrick's a fun one. I mean, I kind of feel like Fitzpatrick might end up in New England.
I was going to ask you about the Patriots, man. Yeah. What do they do? I have no feel for the Patriots are so mysterious to me. I don't know what they do.
I mean, this to me is the most obvious move they could possibly make, and that is trade back for Jimmy Garoppolo. It just makes too much sense. It's Belichick's guy. Like, he's watching Tom Brady go to the Super Bowl. San Francisco wants to move on from him, especially if they get Stafford. Like, do the exact same trade back. Trade a second round pick for him. It's done.
Yeah. I think I agree with you. You know, people have been bashing Bill Belichick this week because Tom Brady made the playoffs, made the Super Bowl. They went 7-9 with that dumpster fire of a roster. Like, Belichick can still coach. Now you can maybe say, hey man, like, you are the architect of this defense. I mean, of this team, this roster that's not very good. Fair enough, but Duke can still coach. Like, come on, guys.
Yep.
Let's not be crazy with this.
I agree. And they had all those opt-outs, and Gilmore went down. Like, they could have a few things changed. They could have been a playoff team, which is kind of crazy to say.
I agree.
So, you know, Fitzpatrick seems kind of silly for them, but if they just need a guy who can move the chains and they, you know, get a wide receiver finally, like, that actually, I could see them having a much better year.
Any other quarterbacks that spark your attention, your mind?
Trubisky. We sort of hit him. I'm curious. I mean, Trubisky and Darnold to me are kind of the same thing, where it's like somebody's going to talk themselves into them. But I'm curious if you have a feel for, I guess, either of those guys.
Dude, Trubisky. I don't know what to do with him. You know, last year, I feel like, I guess the end of this year, I should say, he played some really bad teams and kind of showed his issues in an actual game they had to win.
Yeah.
I just don't know how anyone trusts him to be their starter.
I agree. But someone's going to. I could also... So Trubisky, this is going to sound stupid, but I kind of feel like he has like Las Vegas Raider written all over him.
Instead of Derek Carr?
So... The Raiders are in this weird spot where I have a list of like, I sort of tiered these out. This is a tier of teams that I call teams stuck with who they have, but they would like an upgrade. Okay. So the Giants, the Eagles, the Vikings, the Broncos, the Niners, the Rams,
yeah,
the Falcons, the Panthers, and the Raiders, like any one of them would like to upgrade their quarterback this season. And I feel like one of them is going to do something weird. Like, could the Giants end up signing like Fitzpatrick? Like, no, they're not. But like, somebody's going to do something strange. And Carr's contract is kind of interesting because after this season, I think it's this season, I wrote this down somewhere, he's got an out. So they could get, he has 2 years left on his deal. It's his age 31 season. They could get out of it after this season. Like, I could see Gruden being like, I could fix Trubisky. Like, he's the raw athlete like I've always wanted. Like, I could see that team doing something strange.
Yeah, I mean, Gruden and Carr never have seemed to kind of get along. So it wouldn't make a lot of sense for this to happen. But, I mean, they could just roll with Mariota, no? Or is that, you don't think that's...
Maybe. Isn't he a free agent too?
No, I think he's on a 2-year deal.
Okay. Well, then, yeah, that does make some sense. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like that team's going to do something strange. And the other big domino here, I think, is Chicago. Speaking of Trubisky, like, I have no clue what that team does. Like, are they a Darnold team? Are they a Winston team? Are they a Fitzpatrick team even? Like, could they be a team that just says, like, hey, our defense is pretty good?
See, they're kind of like in the New England boat where I don't really know what the best answer is for them.
Yeah. It's the same with the Saints.
And they might, well, they're going to keep Taysom Hill. They might need to, like, there's a couple teams I feel like need to be bold right now, right? The Colts, the Dolphins with Deshaun Watson. Go get those guys now, right?
Yep.
I think other teams can just wait it out and kind of see what the market bears for them.
Yep. And the draft is going to be super interesting. Again, another reason for the Texans to do this deal with Miami. Like, some team is going to talk themselves into jumping up to number three. And if the Texans already have Tua, they could move down and take that pick from the Bears or Washington or New England or whoever that talks themselves into that number three quarterback. Because I think the draft's going to be nuts. There are going to be teams that move up.
It's going to be wild, dude.
It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, this offseason is going to be wild. I mean, it's going to be a little different because I don't think we have a regular offseason. Like, there's no combine, obviously. You know, pro days may or may not happen. But with the vaccines, we're going to get a regular draft, I think, I hope. Obviously, we'll have a regular camp. Like, we'll get back to normal, in my opinion, fairly soon in the fall. It might not be right now. But the quarterbacks are definitely a place where it's going to be wild this offseason. We can look forward to that with no football, and we can look forward to quarterback carousel and news breaking. All right, Matt, let's end with some mailbag. I asked you guys for some questions, and I know we have some.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of hit on this first one. This is from at Chiefly Bacon. Great name. Is there an AFC team other than the Chiefs that could be the Super Bowl favorite for the 2021 season? And if so, what moves would they have to make to get there?
Dolphins.
I think we kind of hit Miami, but yeah.
Buffalo, man, I didn't like what McDermott said after the game. You know, he wanted to get a morale boost by kicking the field goal to end the first half. Well, scoring a touchdown would have been a good morale boost too. You know, they want to run the ball more next year. I don't know, man. I feel like, okay, so this game was interesting because Josh Allen has been good against pressure all season, but this game, the Chiefs just relentlessly pressured him. And the same game plan they had in the first game, the Bills had no answer. This feels like a blueprint now going forward. Just blitz Josh Allen's throwing hand, the right side, from his right side, until he proves you otherwise. That's all the Chiefs did all game, and he had no answer for it.
That's interesting. To go back to Mr. Bacon's question here, I think Pittsburgh is a really intriguing team this offseason. They looked unbelievable for 11 weeks and then fell apart, and part of that's the quarterback. Like, what if they trade for somebody strange? Like, what if they trade for, you know, Derek Carr? Like, could they be, you know, what happens with Ben Roethlisberger? Could he just retire out of nowhere? They seem like they're pretty close.
I think they hope Ben leaves. A Sam Darnold trade would be good too for them, I feel like.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like, Winston, could he be a guy that, you know, I don't know, like that. I could see Winston in a Steelers jersey.
For sure.
Driving Mike Tomlin crazy. Like, I could see that.
How about your boy Haskins?
Yeah, well, don't hold your breath there on Haskins. But I think Pittsburgh is very ready. Like, they had some tough injuries. I think if, you know, Bud Dupree didn't go out, they might have been a tougher out in the playoffs.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, they have to figure out offensively. They have the talent there. They're just so discombobulated. They got to fix their offensive line too.
Yeah, they do. And their running game. I don't know what they got to do there. So I guess the next question. Maybe our last one here, since we're bumping up on 40 minutes. Miles Yurgatis? I don't know, buddy. I'm sorry. M. Yurgatis. What should the Lions asking price be for Stafford? What do you think he ends up going for?
I would say probably I'm so bad at the draft capital thing, man. I leave that to Bill Barnwell. That's his job to go over those articles. I think they should get a first for him at the minimum, right? And then I think from there, it just depends on what more they want to get out of it. But a first rounder feels appropriate.
I think they're going to get two. I think they're going to get either a first, two firsts, or a first and a second, or 2 seconds. Like, the demand is just too high. And a team like the Colts, they can absolutely look at themselves in the mirror and say, cool, we're giving up two firsts so that we can beat out San Francisco or Washington or whoever. I think he's going to go for a lot.
Well, like, how many first rounders? Like, two?
I'm saying two.
So one this year, one next year.
Yep. Or if one team, if they somehow have two, I don't think it would be Miami or something, but
interesting.
I could see
interesting.
It.
Interesting.
There's too much demand and not enough supply.
I agree. The last question was about my brother and I starting a podcast. We've been working on this for quite a few years now. So just stay tuned, everyone. Matt and I've talked about this. How many years have we talked about this now? 2 years?
Since we've known each other.
So we'll see if Mitch is in on it when he eventually retires. I do not know when that is. I don't know if he's playing this week. Stop asking me. I don't know. And I wouldn't tell you anyways.
Let's hope so.
Also wouldn't tell you anyways. Yeah, hope everyone is doing well with their GameStop stock. So seems to be or AMC or BlackBerry, whatever you're doing out there. Good luck to you as we're recording this and the stock prices continue to go up. But I know nothing about this, Matt. My neighbor right down there, he's an investor. He's all day been texting me. Still have no idea what's happening.
Unbelievable. So
good luck. Good luck to everyone out there. Enjoy your gambling on the stock market, I guess. I don't know. Who knows? All right, guys. We'll be back next week. Guys, we have a ton to tell you. We're going to have an interview with a Super Bowl champion on Monday.
Woohoo!
We're going to have a second interview. Two interviews Monday. One, and then we're going to have an interview with Stephen Che, I believe, from Barstool. Huge Bucks fan. We don't talk about the Bucks. I talk enough about the Chiefs. I want to get Bucks fan perspective on this entire season. He is great. Good X and those guys well. So those will be Monday. And have a great weekend, everyone. Take care.